The Virginia Education Association sponsors Virginia Public Radio, on the air and online.
A waning gibbous moon hangs silver in the cobalt sky as Jamie Bowling, a Charles County waterman, and his son Sam motor down the Potomac toward their trot line. The line, stretching for maybe 500 feet, is marked at either end with green floats and interspersed with empty 1 gallon plastic jugs. With luck, the baited hooks hanging from that line will be heavy with blue catfish. Bowling says he thinks he's doing something good for the environment by catching them.
Crabbing had gotten, they're doing well this year, I think, but crabbing had gotten to be very poor, and I just felt like when I was catching these blue cats, you know, I was benefiting the environment, and I was giving the crabs a little break.
The fish, native to the Mississippi, Ohio, and Missouri river basins, were introduced to the James, Rappahannock, and York rivers in Virginia in the 1970s and 80s as a game fish.
They grow pretty big. They're fun to catch hook and line. So they said, you know, we did this other location, so let's try it here in Virginia.
That's Troy Tuckey, a researcher at the Virginia Institute of Marine Science. Unfortunately, he says, Bay scientists have grown concerned about the growing populations of blue catfish.
Blue catfish eat everything, including each other, and there aren't a whole lot of things that eat them once they get a certain size.
The fish can grow up to 4.5 feet in length and weigh well more than 100 pounds. And they really, really, really like Chesapeake Bay tributaries, he says.
The numbers of fish that we find in our systems are vastly more abundant than you see in their native systems or other areas they've been introduced.
Fisheries scientists figured blue catfish are a freshwater species. The saltier water close to the mouths of the rivers would keep them from wandering. They were wrong. The fish has spread north into the Potomac and other Maryland rivers. Mary Groves, who studies blue catfish for Maryland's Department of Natural Resources, says they've shown up in the Patuxent, the Upper Bay, and Eastern Shore rivers, which suggests to her people have been catching them and moving them around.
So it wouldn't make sense that those fish would swim to just those particular areas. Typically, they're going to kind of spread out and go into adjacent areas. And plus, there's been people that had complained that they saw somebody dumping fish in the river. So
it's not unusual that people move fish to stock their own waterways, she says.
That's why, you know, we're coming at it as from, this is an invasive species. If you could take it out, eat it, fine, please do that. And we want to make sure that we can come up with a plan that can keep the numbers to the point of where it's manageable. Like most of your invasive species, you're not going to get rid of them.
And that's where Tim Shagru comes in.
This is a real-time environmental catastrophe happening in the Chesapeake Bay right under our noses, and we have to do something about it, or else this fish will 100% change the dynamic in the Chesapeake Bay over the next two decades.
He's a fisheries scientist and the vice president of Congressional Seafood, located in a sprawling warehouse off US 1 just south of Baltimore. They process as much as 40,000 pounds of fish on a Friday alone, and some 8,000 pounds of that is blue catfish, headed for restaurants like Clyde's of Georgetown and grocery chains like Whole Foods and Wegmans.
And there's nothing we can do to stop it except to create a market for this fish, which happens to taste fantastic and look fantastic in a retail setting, and that's the only way we're going to get rid of them.
Now, other fisheries scientists don't see it in quite so apocalyptic terms. Matt Ogburn is an ecologist at the Smithsonian Environmental Research Center who's been studying blue catfish. He says there's been concern about the fish because they reproduce quite a lot.
Their abundances are very high in the James and the Potomac rivers especially. And they eat a wide variety of things, but especially they eat fish as they get bigger.
He says they were one of the last species introduced to Chesapeake tributaries before scientists understood that introducing non-native species can have negative effects. Of course, not all those effects have been negative, says Martin Gary, executive director of the Potomac River Fisheries Commission. Watermen have a new market and what seems like an endless supply. They caught more than 1 million pounds of blue catfish in the Potomac alone last year and are on track to easily surpass that this year.
Part of that is a function of the number of people that are going to fish for blue catfish. It's become lucrative. It's become a win-win-win all around.
Not that he likes having a top-of-the-line predator in his river, but they're good to eat, they're safe to eat, and watermen have become pretty efficient at catching them. There's a slash of orange on the eastern horizon as Jamie and Sam Bowling reach their trot line, just downstream from Gunston Cove, close to the Virginia shore, and begin setting up. Jamie chops up a bucket of eels for bait, and Sam brings the green float across the blunt bow of their 21-foot Carolina skiff. Soon they begin work, hardly speaking to each other. Jamie, on starboard, pulls in the line, pulling one blue catfish after another out of the water. He springs the hook and drops the fish into the bottom of the boat. Sam rebaits the hook and leads the line back into the water. The fish flop around. They make a noise almost like barking with their swim bladders. At the end of the first pass, Jamie turns the boat around and heads back to the beginning of the line, while Sam tosses the fish into 35-gallon ice chests. They'll make three more passes over the next 4 hours, filling six of those ice chests with barking blue catfish and leaving nearly a dozen more flopping in the bottom of the boat. And in all that time, they only catch two fish that aren't blue cats. On the last pass, Jamie says they bite better before dawn, and now the sun is well above the horizon.
They're not in lack of abundance right now, but they're not quite as thick as they were.
Soon he'll be back at the dock at the end of Marshall Hall Road, hauling his boat out of the water to meet one of Tim Shagrew's trucks. He'll be back the next day and the next, making a living and, as he puts it, doing something good for the environment. I'm Joel McCord for Chesapeake, a journalism collaborative.